Mercy, peace, and love are yours through faith in God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, even in Jesus' day, and even among his own people, there were differing beliefs about what happens when we die. Right? It's true today. Buddhism teaches that ultimate life, the ultimate goal of life is nirvana, or nothingness. That one ultimately escapes this cycle of human suffering by experiencing ultimate negation, the negation of the self, becoming one with this cosmic void, entering into nothingness. Some believe that when you're dead, you're dead. That we are nothing more than a random accumulation, an assembly of molecules, absolutely nothing more. We're only matter, and at death, we rot. Cheery worldview. Hinduism, similar to Buddhism, but yet vastly different. The ultimate goal is to escape the karmic driven cycle of reincarnation, in which the soul experiences moksha, or oneness with the cosmic soul, the cosmic spirit, Brahman. Again, the individual is lost and swallowed up, but this time as part of the universal life force. Lots of people have different beliefs about the afterlife, some not really formed by any specific tradition or religion. People have these beliefs of heaven, you could call it, where kind of formed after their own imagination. You know, maybe where Aunt Zelda is knitting forever without the problem of arthritis anymore. Or Uncle Hank is golfing perpetually and he gets his hole in one every time, right? People have all these different ideas of what the afterlife it's like. It's popular to say, really popular in our era to say that all religions are basically the same. But when you actually look at all the different religions, there may be some common threads, but they're vastly different from each other. Beliefs about what happens after you die or in the afterlife, it's not like going to the buffet where you can kind of pick and choose whatever you want and that's what you can eat or that's what happens. It's not like you can say, you know, I really like that reincarnation thing and I'd like to come back as a dolphin or a butterfly, and then you get that wish and that's what happens for you. You know, reality doesn't work that way. It either is what it is or it's not. You go to the buffet and you want chicken, you can get chicken, but reality simply is reality. What's true is simply what's true. What we believe about the afterlife matters. And it can impact how we live out every single day of our lives right here and right now. Look at this story from the gospel. The Sadducees, they were a religious group, a party within Judaism of Jesus' day, associated with the priesthood and the temple, and they didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe that people would rise from the ground bodily in the end of days. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. The Pharisees, they were another religious group, another party within Judaism of Jesus' day, and they did believe in a resurrection. They did believe in angels and demons. When we come to Jesus in this passage, he has just come into Jerusalem in that Holy Week on Palm Sunday, and the opposition to him is heightening. The Sadducees and the Pharisees had their differing opinions, but they were united about Jesus. And they saw Jesus as a troublemaker who needed to be ended, who needed to be stopped. And so they came after him with everything, and they tried to test him. They tried to trip him up to publicly expose him as the fraud they thought he was so that they could put him out of the way. The Pharisees failed, so the Sadducees take their shot. And they give him this outlandish picture of what they imagine, a really crazy idea with all of these husbands and the wife. And there they are at the resurrection, right? Because that was the Jewish law, to pass on the inheritance, to keep the inheritance within the tribes. The brother would have to, if there's no children, the brother would have to marry the wife of his brother and have children for his brother so that the inheritance could pass on. So the Sadducees come up with this crazy idea, right? Say there's seven brothers. They all married the same wife. They all died childless. What are you going to do, Jesus, at the resurrection? See how ridiculous this sounds, Jesus? Are they all married together, Jesus? Jesus says, no. You don't understand. You don't understand. He gives them a view that's consistent with the whole of the Bible. He teaches the continuation of life after death. And he affirms the coming resurrection. He says the Sadducees are mistaken. They don't understand that while life continues after death, it's different. This age is different than that age. In this age, there's marriage and there's the having of kids. And because of sin, there's death. But in the age to come, there'll be no more death and there won't be any marriage. There won't be any having of children. He says you'll be like, in that respect, unable, no need for marriage, no having of children, no dying. In that respect, you'll be like the angels. I'm sorry, Jimmy Stewart and Clarence, but you're wrong. We don't become angels. We don't earn our wings. People are people. Angels are angels, right? But sorry to break it to you. Some of you I know are hoping. But this is, you know, Jesus says we'll be like the angels. Jesus says this is the reality for those who, he says, are considered worthy of taking part in that age. Wow. Everlasting life for those who are worthy. That's what Jesus teaches. Scripture teaches us that not one of us is worthy of everlasting life on our own. For every single one of us has sinned and falls short of the glory, the perfection, the holiness of God. But Jesus came. Jesus came in his death on the cross. He takes away our sins and gives us freely his own righteousness, holiness, and perfection, and makes us worthy to live forever with God in glory. So that everyone who calls on his name truly will be saved from sin and death and enter into eternal life. So what of it? Each week you come here, and just as we did a little while ago around the font, you confess your belief in the resurrection of the body. We side with the Pharisees. We side with Jesus. We confess the reality taught in the scriptures consistently that we are more than just matter. That God has created people with a body and with a soul knit together. And that because of the corruption of sin at death, the body and soul are ripped apart. The body is buried in the ground, and the soul goes either into torment or into the presence of God at peace until that final day when God comes in glory and all the dead are raised and souls and bodies are knit together, some entering into everlasting torment and some into everlasting righteousness and blessedness. Body and soul together. Week after week, you say you believe this. But I wonder if somebody were to examine you on Tuesday morning or Wednesday afternoon or Thursday in the middle of the night, if they were to watch your life, and if they were to examine your thoughts and the attitudes of your heart, would they be able to tell that you believe in a resurrection of the body, or would you look just like the Pharisees? Just like the atheists of our day that say this life and this moment is all there is. I wonder. Think about your life for a moment. Does it reflect a belief in the resurrection of the body and an eternity with God? Or are you grasping and hungering and thirsting for everything you can possibly hold on to because this feels like all there is? Do you keep eating and eating and eating, or drinking and drinking and drinking because you're afraid it's going to be gone the next day, right? That old phrase, eat and drink today, for tomorrow we die. And what about our fears? We're afraid of so much. Do we really believe in a resurrection? Then why are we so scared? Why are we so afraid of that news about disease? Why are we so scared of what our bank account is going to be in 30 or 40 years? Why are we so scared about what other people think about us? Why are we so paralyzed by fear? See, this isn't just an academic discussion. This isn't just a nice comparative religions class. It's not just a cool thing to kind of philosophize and think about. Because the Jesus that was put to death on the cross and buried in the grave, on that Sunday morning, he came back to life. And his followers saw him. And the scriptures are their eyewitness testimony. That they saw what they never imagined, what they never prepared for, what they never planned on. They saw Jesus horribly beaten, whipped, tortured, crucified, dead too. They saw him wondrously alive and whole again. They saw his hands, they saw his side, they touched him, they ate with him, they heard words from his mouth. They grabbed hold of him. Jesus was alive, right? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And that changes absolutely everything. The fact that Jesus walked out of the grave alive shows us that this resurrection thing is not only possible, but that Jesus, who preached the resurrection, himself was the first to experience it and promises, yes, it is true. Your bodies will rise from the grave. And we talk about this today, not just once on Easter Sunday, but we confess this weekly in the Creed, and we talk about it weekly, and we meditate on it weekly, because that reality should change us right here and right now. It should reorder our whole perspective on things. Yeah, if this moment is all I've got, then by all means, live it up. Grab what you can while the grabbing is good, right? It's like a huge hurricane has come. Just come in. Loot everything. It doesn't matter. Take what you want. This is it. That's not reality. Thank God. Right? We have an eternal inheritance kept in heaven for us that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We serve a living Jesus who works for us right here and right now. We don't need to keep grabbing and grasping and hungering and thirsting. In Jesus, we can be content. We have everything we need. We have an eternity of joy and peace that no one can take from us. We have nothing to fear. The worst the world throws at us, even if the world takes this body and life, that's not the end. My soul goes to be with Christ, and on the last day, this body is raised up and new, better than I could ever imagine. You have nothing to be afraid of if Jesus is your Lord. You have nothing to be afraid of if Jesus is your Savior. He lives, and he loves you, and he's got an eternal life in his hands. So be at peace, people of God. Enjoy the moment, yes. But live for something longer, bigger. Live for eternity. For the glory of God, the good of your neighbor. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.